Chapter 2 12 A Culmination. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. Jesus. 1833. Mrs. Eddy wrote, "My religious experience seemed to culminate at 12 years of age." At the age of 12, Jesus was found questioning the doctors in the temple. Mary Baker, too, began questioning the doctrines taught by the church. One day, when she was 12 years old, she asked her mother whether she thought that eternal punishment really was true. Abigail was a loving, forgiving mother who had taught her children to repent for naughtiness and say, "I am sorry and will not do so again." But to doubt the church doctrine was considered heresy, so she sighed deeply when she answered, "Mary, I suppose it is." "What if we repent and tell God we are sorry and will not do so again?" said Mary. "Will God punish us? Then he is not as good as my mother, and he will find me a hard case." Mary found this a hard question to resolve. She had been a devout, obedient child, well taught by both father and mother. Occasionally during her childhood, her father endeavored to force Mary to conform to his stern will, but the gentle mother would intercede and deter him by saying, "Mark, you must not antagonize Mary. You know she is always right." Her desire to be right was conflicting with the erroneous doctrine of predestination, or unconditional election, which she had been taught, and her thought was sorely troubled. Nor was she able to dismiss it, as other youngsters might. As a consequence, she became ill and was stricken with fever. The family physician was summoned, but little did he know that her critical illness was due to the crisis in her religious experience. Her father was sincere in endeavoring to save his youngest daughter from heresy, but his relentless theology and merciless Jehovah made his words harsh. They fell like blows on the stricken child, but her religious experience was culminating. To culminate means to reach the highest point of altitude. The gentle mother told Mary to lean on God's love and turn to him in prayer. Mary knew not the import of this occasion, but in turning unreservedly to God for guidance, she was healed so quickly of the fever that the physician marveled, and she was freed forever from Calvin's horrible decree of predestination. Abigail witnessed the Christ healing and rejoiced, and there were signs in the heaven that pointed to this progressive development. When the disciples went to Jesus asking for a sign of Christ's coming, he said that there would be great tribulation. The sun would be darkened, the moon would not give light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. North America experienced a dark day on May 19, 1780, in which it was midnight darkness at noonday. Though the moon had been full the night before, the following night it gave no light. Mr. Teeny of Exeter, New Hampshire, wrote, "The darkness of the following evening was probably as gross as has ever been observed since the Almighty Fiat gave birth to light." a German astronomer recorded, "The dark day of North America was one of those wonderful phenomena of nature, which will always be read with interest, but which philosophy is at a loss to explain." And now, in 1833, the stars fell from heaven. This phenomena of shooting stars pointed to Boston, though Mary knew not that her future lay in that city. It was computed that on the morning of November 13, 1833, no fewer than 240,000 meteors were at the same time visible above the horizon of Boston. A professor of astronomy at Yale University wrote, "The morning of November 13, 1833, was rendered memorable by an exhibition of the phenomena called shooting stars, which was probably more extensive and magnificent than any heretofore recorded. Probably no celestial phenomena has ever occurred in this country since its first settlement, which was viewed with such admiration and delight by one class of spectators and with so much astonishment and fear by another. During the 3 hours of its continuance, the day of judgment was believed to be waiting only for the sunrise." In her autobiography, Retrospection and Introspection, which she published in 1891, Mary included a chapter titled Theological Reminiscence, in which she wrote briefly of her experience at the age of 12. But she depicted it more graphically 2 years later when she presented the story of her life in poetry and paintings. In a casual perusal of Christ in Christmas, the second picture might be mistaken for Jesus' raising of the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus. That event was illustrated as the frontispiece for Science and Health, from the second edition through the 20th, with the caption, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." Mark 5, verse 41. This drawing follows Luke's description, "And he put them all out, and took her by the hand." For only the two figures, Jesus and the maid, in first century attire, appear in the scene. This picture was reproduced in a window of the Mother Church in 1894. It is interesting to contrast the depiction of this first century event with the scene in Christ in Christmas, which first appeared in 1893. The figures of Jesus and the Father in Christ healing are both clad in garments of an earlier era, but the mother and daughter are in 19th century attire. The coffin, too, is definitely a portrayal of the era of Mary Baker, not of Jairus' daughter. When this picture is seen as portraying Mary's culminating religious experience in 1833, it is interesting to analyze it according to some of the instructions Mrs. Eddy gave to her artist at the easel. Corresponding to the 3 degrees on pages 115 to 116 of Science and Health, blackest in each picture is first degree, depravity, physical. Gray is second degree, evil beliefs disappearing, moral. White is third degree, understanding, spiritual. Jesus is dressed in white and is directly under the light from the 7-pointed star, though the black robe on his shoulders could indicate the cross. Mother and daughter are both dressed in white, but they are in the gray of the second degree. The mother's eyes are opened, and she sees the healing, but she is just outside the white light of understanding. The father is totally in the dark and dressed in black. Abigail was glad when she saw the Christ healing. Mark was astonished. Mary is being raised from a very black coffin, and her eyes are just beginning to open. Hands indicate power. The right hand, the dominant power. The left hand, a secondary power. Jesus' dominant power is healing in the gray, second degree. His left hand is in the light, pointing to the principle or source of the light. Abigail's hands are clasped in the gray. The father's right hand is out of sight. His left hand is tentatively reaching out from the black into the gray. Mary's right hand is resting. Her left hand is being drawn toward the light. Though the science of her being is lying dormant, as depicted by the resting right hand, a secondary power that is being drawn toward the light is apparent in a poem Mary composed when she was 12 years old. A revised version is in her published poems, but the original as follows is from her girlhood notebook. Resolutions for the morning. I'll rise in the morn and drink in the dew from flowers that bloom in the vale, so mildly dispensing their charms ever new over hillocks and flowery dales. I'll gaze on the orb in yon eastern sky, for loftier thoughts 'twill invite. His beams can enlighten the spiritual eye and inspire my pen as I write. I'll form resolutions with strength from on high, such physical laws to obey, as reason with appetite pleasures deny, that health may my efforts repay. I'll go to the altar of God and pray that the reconciled smiles of His Son may illumine my path through the wearisome day and cheer me with hope when 'tis done. I'll grateful remember the blessings I've shared and make this my daily request. Increase Thou my faith, my vision enlarge. Clothe me with the garment of peace. I'll earnestly seek for deliverance from the indulgence in sinful mirth, from thoughtlessness, vanity, all that is wrong, with ambition that binds me to earth. And oh, I'll remember my dear absent friends, though distance may part us the while. I'll breathe forth a prayer for their spiritual gain, that goodness may sorrow beguile. To these resolutions should I but prove true, through faith, free from spiritual pride, I'll love to acknowledge my days must be few, for they'll waft me away to my God. In her illustrated poem, Mrs. Eddy has recorded for the world the importance of her experience at 12 years of age. Study and analysis begin to reveal that everyone reaches a culminating point at the age of 12. It seems that the child is under God's protection for the first 12 years. His world is God's universe. Then he meets the world according to the tree of knowledge, which usurps the place of the tree of life. If parents understood this, they would carefully supervise every aspect of their child's education for the first 12 years, so that his culminating experience could be one of courage built upon righteousness, backed by wisdom and intelligence. Then the teen years, instead of being trials to parent and child alike, would be a period in which the progressiveness and resoluteness of youth could overthrow the false decrees of the world, even as Mary Baker overcame the false decree of predestination and eternal punishment for herself and for the world forever.